Good morning and welcome to Nach Yomi. Today we're going to be starting Sefer Hosea. Hosea is the first of the Treasure of the 12 minor prophets, and it is 14 prakim long, so this should take us roughly 2.5 weeks at one perek a day for 5 days a week. We're going to be focusing on the first section, the first perek here, which is actually a very short perek. It is only 9 psukim long, but there's a tremendous amount of depth. So what we're going to do is the following. We're going to do a quick overview of the actual what's described, the text, and then a few reflections to try to understand the deeper meaning of what's going on. We're told at the beginning that Hosea is the son of Ba'eri, and Hashem reaches out to him during the times of Uzziah, Yosam, Achaz, and Yechizkiel, the kings of Yehuda, and during the days of Yeravam ben Yoash, the king of Israel. So we're told he's living in the times of 4 of the kings of the south, of the southern kingdom of Yehuda, and during the times of Yeravam ben Yoash in the northern kingdom of Israel. We have to clarify that in just a moment. So what is the prophecy? Hashem says to Hosea, Leich kach locha eishes zununim v'yaldei zununim. Go and marry a eishes zununim. It sounds like a promiscuous woman, and have children with her, or bring in children who are yaldei zununim, or children of promiscuity, because the land has gone wayward from Hashem. And that's exactly what he does. He goes and marries a lady by the name of Gomer Bas Divlayim, and he has a son with her. And he calls Hashem tells him to call the first son Yisrael. Why? Because Hashem is going to, in just a moment, take vengeance for the sins of Beis Yehu, the house of Yehu, and is going to remove the kingdom of Israel. That's the first, which lives in the valley of Yisrael, which is in the north. Okay, that's child number one. Then she has a daughter. And in this case, he calls the daughter Loi Ruchama, which means no mercy. Why? Because Hashem says, I'm not going to show any more mercy on the house of Israel in the north. I will have mercy on the southern kingdom of Yehuda. I'm going to save them, but not through military. And when she finally weans this last daughter, Ruchama, she has a third child, and this daughter is going to be, or his name is actually, the son is going to be Lo Ami, not my nation, because Hashem completely rejects this nation. This is the perek, very curious, very strange perek. Let's try to break it up into pieces. First of all, we're told at the beginning that the time frame is that Hosea lives during the time period of these 4 kings of the south, who are Uzziah, Yosam, Achaz, and Chizkiyahu, and the king in the north is Yeravam. Now, to tell you the truth, the kings in the south actually were paralleled with many more kings in the north. So Yeravam ben Yoash was only one of the kings. He was one of the longest living kings of 41 years. But after he died, his son was murdered, and that person was murdered, and that person was murdered. It was a terrible devolvement in the falling apart of the northern kingdom of Israel immediately after Yeravam died. So why is it that Yeravam is the only one selected of the northern kings that Hosea is speaking about? So the Mefarshim debate this, and they say that really, there were other kings in the north, but Rashi suggests, is that Yeravam over here was the only one who was meritorious enough, the only one who had good enough deeds to his name to be included in the time frame of the kings in the south. Whereas the Malbim says, no, you know what's really going on over here? Is in order to understand this, up till now, the kingdom in the north, the Israelite kingdom, which had split off from the kingdom of Yehuda, was more powerful until the end of the reign of Yeravam. When Yeravam in the north was challenged by Uzziah in the south, at that point in time, the shift of power went southwards, which is why the description is here, Yeravam, and thereafterwards, the 4 kings in the south. That's what seems to be described over here, which obviously indicates to us that we're on the decline. Hosea is speaking to the people in the north as their empire, as their nation is declining, as they are being surrounded by enemies. So it's a very precarious time, the end of a period of prosperity as they start on their sharp decline. Let's move a little forward over here. There seem to be 3 children. Their names are Yisrael, Loi Ruchama, and Loi Ami. Yisrael is because the Jews in the nation, in the area of Yisrael, the valleys of Yisrael in the north, are going to be destroyed because of the sins of Yehu. What is the story of Yehu? What background is this? So the truth is that Yehu was the king, the predecessor or the pre-predecessor of Yeravam ben Yoash. Yehu was actually a very successful king. He killed out the line of Ahab, who was an evil king, destroyed all the worshippers of Baal, and really brought about a spiritual reformation in the north which was a remarkable moment and promised to be a time of coming back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But ultimately, the end of Yehu's days, he ultimately also went south, and his actions were also those of Avodah Zarah. He was not able to take full control. And because of that, slowly there was a devolution, and he was only granted four generations, Yerovam ben Yoash being the third. And so what Hoshea is ultimately saying in this prophecy is that Yerovam, you stand to be destroyed, and as such is the story, that his son is going to be killed, assassinated, and replaced. So this is a prophecy about the end of Yerovam in the north's rule. This is Yerovam the second, Yerovam ben Yoash, not the original Yerovam who broke off the kingdom. Now, is there a progression in these three children? So the Malbim says, yes, there is a progression over here. Very fascinating progression. That is that the first child was actually his child with this lady, Gomer. However, the second child, if you look very carefully, it doesn't say that she bore it to him. She bore this daughter in general, which means to say there's questionable patrilineal lineage. We don't know who the father is because this is the type of woman she is. So what's happening over here is already you can see that the first child is called a normal name, Yisrael, which is often Aryan Israel, but the second child is being called Rola Ruchama, not mercy. Why? Because the father over here is experiencing this ambivalence towards this child, not rejection yet. Lo Ruchama means less mercy, not being merciful. It doesn't mean destruction. The third child is finally when he realizes that there is no hope from this woman, from this relationship, and he actually sort of rejects the child by saying, "Loi ami," that this child's not my nation, is not part of me, unfortunately, which is the progression through these different children in this experience. But let's try to understand over here. Well, first of all, do we know who this woman is? So the Masorah says, yes, Gomer was apparently a woman who was a famous woman of the night in the times of Hoshea, whereas the Malbim says that her name actually relates to her name, her line of business, and there's some contention in innuendos in the actual name itself, rather than it being her real name. What does it mean that she's an Eshes Zanonim? So the Mitzvah says that she's a woman who has a reputation, and she already has a few children out of wedlock by the time Hoshea is actually marrying her. So what's going on over here? First, the last two questions that we're going to deal with is, did this really happen, and what's the meaning of it? So did this really happen? Is this the kind of thing that actually physically occurred? Did Hoshea marry this lady called Gomer or not? So the Chazal seem to assume that, yes, she did. The Malbim goes along with his line. How could he do this? How could Hashem order a prophet to do something which is against the will of the Torah? So the Malbim says this is a Horayas Shah. He wasn't a Kohen, so there was no specific Isur that was more specific to him. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu waived a number of the Isurei Torah, in this case as a Horayas Shah, like Eliyahu at Har Carmel brought sacrifices even though it was outside of the confines of the Beis HaMikdash. So why? Yes, because he needed it for this moment in time. Whereas other Mephoreshim, like the Radak, the Ben Ezra, say Chalila. They say, how could this Chalila Shi Yetzave Hashem Lakachas Eshe Zanunim? How could Hashem, this is a leader of Klal Yisrael, do such a thing? So Ibn Ezra, the Radak, said that, no, this was actually a vision. None of this actually happened. This is Hoshea going to sleep at one night and seeing this whole vision actually experience unfold in front of him, waking up with it being very real to his senses, but ultimately not actually having happened in reality. What is the meaning of this whole business? So the Chida, in his commentary on Tanakh and the Malbim, all quote Chazal, who say that there was actually a debate going on. And that is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu turned to Hoshea and said, Hoshea, look, my nation is doing really bad thing. You're a prophet in the Northern Kingdom. Look what they're doing. Look at the Avodah Zarah. Look at the fact that they have no sense of allegiance to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and my system of law. And Hoshea's response was, "Ha'avirem b'uma acheres." Replace them. You know what? If they're giving you trouble, just replace them. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I can't just replace them. Hoshea, you don't understand what it means to be connected, even if they're complicated children. So he tells him, Hoshea, you're going to learn this the hard way. You're going to get married, or you're going to experience this, at least in a dream, according to Ben Ezra and the Radak. You're going to experience this idea, and you're going to see what it means to be connected to children, even though it's complex. Connected to a wife, even though it's complex. But look, when you have to throw her out because of the actions, no, you're not going to want to. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, look, these are my children. I can't just throw them out. I can't just be ma'avirom to remove them and replace them with another nation. There's a complex relationship. There's a rehabilitation which is necessary. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in a certain sense, is re-educating Hoshea to the perspective necessary for a parent who really, really cares, for a husband, for a spouse who really cares about this nation, even as far as they have gone necessarily. And we're going to see this ambivalence in perhaps the fact that he calls the last of the children, not my nation, not my child, so to speak, but at the same time, the fact that he doesn't want to fully reject them and kick them out. And this is going to be the learning platform which projects us into Perek Beis, where we see a little bit more of the Nimshal. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.